Tell your neighbor, buckle down. Amen. We're about to take off 10,000 feet altitude. Amen. There might be a little turbulence while we're up there. Amen. But prayfully, the Holy Spirit will give us a safe landing. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go off of Friday's message. And I'm going to try to move through Friday's message as quick as possible for we can get into Sunday's message. But they both tie together very importantly. And that's why I'm going to be doing that. Amen. So the title of this morning's message is Chosen People Know Who They Are, Part 2. Amen. Chosen People Know Who They Are, Part 2. As we go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Need everybody listening very carefully. Amen. The Bible reads in verse 9. I stayed in verse 9 all Friday. I'm going to stay in verse 9 again. I'm going to probably go to 10. I might make it into verse 10. Amen. And the Bible reads, "But you are not like that." But you are not like that. Reading out of the NLT, the New Living Translation. But you are not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you for this privilege to be here this day. Not so much only within your temple, but within your presence. Standing, sitting upon holy ground, where you want to speak instructions here this day unto your chosen people. Have your way. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. We always quote this scripture, we are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and people always quote that. I'm going to give you good understanding to it today, amen, and how the Lord has ministered to me with it, amen. But it opens up by saying, but you are not like that. The title of the message, amen, is Chosen People Know Who They Are. We need to know that when we get saved in Jesus, that we can't remain that same person. But you are not like that. There was a time and a place where we were like that. And we did that and then some. But here now, this morning and then, God is speaking to his chosen people. Those that he has set free, removed from darkness into his marvelous light, Scripture tells us. And Scripture tells us, but you, making it personal, are not like that. I put here, you got to know who you are in Christ to not continue to do that, the things you used to do. You got to know who you are. And a point to go along with that is when you know who you are, you will do the right things. Here this day, we're going to take a little bit further than knowing the right thing, knowing who we are. Because I believe this morning there's some that know who you are in Christ. You know what the right things are, but you're not doing them. For some, you're just finding out your identity in Christ. And for others, amen, you do know your identity. You do know the call of God upon your life. But you're still at the beginning of verse 9 that says, but you are not like that. Chosen people of God grow. They continue to be inspired by the person of the Holy Spirit to make this change, this change, this change in our life that will take us forward in answering the call as true chosen people of God. The word chosen people in the Greek simply means a chosen or elect race. I'm going to use the word race, amen? The word chosen people in the Greek means a chosen or elect race. The idea is that of a new race of people that differs entirely from the other races upon the earth. In other words, there's Chinese race, there's millions of races all around the world, amen? But when we give our lives to the Lord and when He takes us out of darkness into His marvelous light, we become the race of God, the chosen people of God. Whether you're black, white, red, blue, or green, you become the chosen people of God, the race of God. How can it be that God can get believers from all over the world and nations and formed a new race? Within our ministry, a work started there in East LA. Amen? Many, many years ago, over 50 years ago. And before you know it, people started getting saved. More people got saved. Then the work transferred from Southern to Northern California and started going little but slowly but surely all over the world. 50 years later, currently in over 33 countries. Amen. A race of God has been built all around the world of every color and tongue, of many different languages, but yet all the same race, the chosen people of God. How can it be that God can get believers from all over the world and nations and form a new race? And the answer is by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is changing people inwardly. I spoke on Friday. The person of the Holy Spirit goes to work within our lives. He's not changing us outwardly. But the problem is that too many times we're trying to make changes within our lives based on what we look like, how much we weigh, what we wear, what we drive, how much money we got. And we're always trying to make changes to the areas that pertain to man and not unto the Lord. And this is why at times you may be having difficulties being confusion because you're worried about your outer appearance when you should be worried about your inward appearance. He's not changing facial and skin features. All these things mean very little. The outwardly differences mean very little. These outer differences that are always slowly but surely dying. I mean, know that we're getting older. We're not getting younger, but we're getting older. I mean, know that we're aging. Slowly, parts are giving out on our body. And if you get all caught up in what you look like, I shared Friday, you're going to get, as time goes on, you're going to get more bummed out, more bummed out, more bummed out before you go look at yourself in the mirror and be all depressed also. That's how depressed you're going to get. You're going to become depressed. I mean, you're not even going to go to the mirror. You're not even going to do that in front of the mirror no more. He's like, and you're going to go up to the mirror and get more depressed, a little bit shorter, more depressed, a little bit shorter. Before you know it, the mirror that worked fine for all these years, you got to get one of them long ones from Walgreens, amen? And you look at yourself and go to work. And you're a Christian. 2 Corinthians speaks about this. 4:16 through 17. It says, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, amen, it's a biblical truth. It's not just something pastor was saying, amen. I'm going to back it up with scripture. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day inwardly, amen. So as we're getting weaker and weaker within, we should be getting stronger and stronger. But too many times we allow our outer features dictate in how we feel within. And that's why the Bible says that the flesh is weak and getting weaker. Amen. But the spirit is willing. The spirit within your life is willing to grow and to become stronger and stronger. Though you're getting older and hurting more and more, inwardly you should be getting stronger and stronger. And that's why we can go to verse 16 and say, that's why we never give up. Because there's an inner witness taking place in your life that says, don't give up. The Spirit of God. It's not based what you feel like. It's not based what you look like. But it's based on who you are. It's what's taking place within your life. And that's where the Spirit daily should be getting renewed and stronger, no matter what you're facing this day. That's why we never give up. And I haven't given up over 20 years. Again, I love when the enemy tries to come in on the service, especially before the service. Now I say, okay, what am I going to do here? Okay, I got to make some and I walk around real cool now. Before you smack, yeah, right there. I go crazy. My wife did that this morning, amen. I said, man, that's what I used to look like. I stayed real cool and calm and collective. And I was looking to see what God was going to do. I said, you lying devil, you ain't going to get me. You better come with something better than that. So the Lord showed me three people this morning because I was not focused in what the enemy was trying to do. That's why the Word of God is still going to go forth in power under the anointing of God, because my eyes are fixed on what Jesus is doing here this morning. Verse, it says, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. And that's why you got to know, I put here, who you are in Christ. Because if you don't, you'll go by the outer witness instead of the inner witness. We're not who we are by what's taking place on the outside. Simple notes. But what's taking place on the inside. I put here, God is changing you and I within our hearts and minds. Not what we look like and what we wear and what we drive. God is changing us, I put here, where it matters. Where it matters. Too many times we get depressed because our wants ain't being met. We're not having it our way. But God wants to move within your life here this morning in places where it matters, based on what He wants from your life. Amen? As we go back to verse 9 of 1 Peter, the Bible says that we're God's chosen people. It goes on to say that, but you are not like that. It has like a little north side pop to it, amen? For you are a chosen people, you are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Here we come to find out God's very own possession. Tell your neighbor, hey man, you belong to God, you're a possession of God. Come on. While you're doing that, tell that person to wake up also. Amen? Kill two birds with one stone. The Bible says that we are God's not only chosen people, but that we are his possessions. Amen. When I hear the word possessions, I think of value. I think of something that has worth in it. As God sees us, his sons and daughters, he sees us with value and much worth. So much that he sent his son to die on the cross for your life and my life. It's just as a father and mother sees their son, their daughters, even if they're going the wrong way, a mother is able to see the worth of their child. Though the child can't see it, a father or mother is able to see it. And if we can see that for our own children, how much more can God see it for his children? We're his chosen people, and we're also God's possession, Scripture tells us. Tells us that there's wealth, amen, within our lives. Value within our lives. We are more precious to God, I said Friday, than all the precious gems and treasures of the world. How many know that? You might have come in feeling one way this morning, but right now in the presence of God, you know, he looks upon your life and my life, amen, more so than any gem, any treasure that the world could ever give. There's value in your life. Wherever I put here, there's possessions of value, you and I, there'll always have to be an area of provision. Because anything that has value needs provision, or a baby, an infant. Oh, they're so cute and everything. Well, there needs to be within that child, amen, there's got to be a provision to that child to continue to grow. So God sees us as his children, amen, here this day. Whether we're going the right way, the wrong way, he sees us as his chosen people, his possessions. He sees the value within our lives. So, because of so, he will bring a provision for your life and my life. And anytime I think of the word value, I also think of the word protection. There needs to be a protection for your life and my life, not just a provision. And how many know that our God is able to provide for us, that our God is able to protect us because we are his chosen people? We are his possessions. And the reason the enemy continues to attack your life and my life over and over and over, because the enemy knows there's value within your life. He knows there's value within your life. So when he attacks, he wants your attention to take you off, your eyes off of Jesus. And when your eyes are off of Jesus, it's hard to see the value that you possess in your life that has been put there by God. So that's why the prostitute continues to be attacked. Why? She has value within her life. The alcoholic on the street corner, the gang member on the street corner has value, wealth within his life. And the enemy knows that. And that's why the enemy will continue to attack, to distract us from the value that we have within our lives. Because of what God says about us. Not what the enemy says. Not what that such and such person has said about you that got you still mad today, right now, as you hear me speaking. And the work of the enemy is to continue to attack and attack, to distract, to confuse, for you not to see the value within your life. And the only way you're going to find out to see and know the value within your life, you're going to have to find out who you are. And if you want to find out who you are, you're going to have to find out who God is. How do do we find out who God is? Through a praying life, a reading life. Partaking in the church services, partaking in the ministries of the church. This is who we find out that we've been called to be servants. At the end, enter in good and faithful servants. Servants are what enters heaven. And if we could serve the enemy, we could surely serve the Lord. You need to know who you are here this day. You need to know the value that's within your life, that's getting stronger and stronger. See, that's a truth, a biblical truth. But too many times we get caught up on what's taking place in what we look like. And we allow the enemy to distract us by simply how we feel as we look in the mirror. When the Bible says that we are created in God's image, I'm ugly. I used to have it going on at one time. My wife always says this line, amen. I'm under the spirit right now of God, amen. She's not going to think so, but I am. I was fine after the first one and the second kid, but man, that third one, man. Right? She would say something like, you try having babies. And I'm not just talking to the women here all messed up in what you look like. I'm talking about some men also. You're getting all bent out of shape when something don't fit no more. You weren't worried about when your pants became too big out there running with the devil. But now you're worried that your pants are becoming too small running with Jesus. Take that note. It's a heavy revy, man. That's third heaven stuff. I remember being in Texas with the biggest dope dealers in the house in Austin, Texas. I was clean walking into this girl's house, kilos of coke on the table, and she wanted me. She says, whatever you want. And there I was with my little needle boy going like a little mouse back and forth to that table. She goes, just don't take none, don't sell none. You can use it to, you drop on the floor. And I remember in 1 week, I walked in there looking real good in 1 week. My pants I had looked like they were somebody else's pants. I lost 25, 30 pounds in a week. We get caught up in what we look like. We allow what we look like when God says that we're created in His image. And I believe when God says that, that's our appearance and what we look like within. That's getting better and better. Inwardly, our spirit is being renewed on a daily basis. We should start looking better and better before Jesus, maybe not before man, but before Jesus. What's more important, how you look before man or how you look before the Lord? And we miss it. And we allow the enemy in to our thinking because of what we look like on the outside. And God is concerned what we look like on the inside, because the inside is who we truly are. And that's why the enemy will continue to attack and attack and attack to keep you from your true value, on the power that you have within your life to be a successful Christian. A servant of servants. Amen? Tell your neighbor, man, you got it going on. Even though you don't feel it. The truth is, inwardly, you got it going on. As we end to Sunday morning's message, amen? Chosen people know who they are, part two. So we have spoken about the importance of knowing who we are. But you are not like that. Amen? But this morning I want to speak on, you got to go beyond knowing who you are. You got to know your purpose. You got to know your purpose. And this is still found in verse 9. And the Bible reads, but you are not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possessions. We've already covered all that. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. Here's our purpose. That's our purpose right there. Show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. The Bible uses in the New Living Translation, as a result, it's as if, therefore, now that you're saved and you ain't like that no more. How many know when Jesus is in your life and you know who you are, you should be getting results? When Jesus is truly within your life, you should be getting results. How many like when you work real hard and you get good results? It's like just worth it all, right? The opposite to that is working hard and getting no results. You see, when Christ enters a man's life, a woman's life, a youth's life, amen, results come quick. They come quick. Addictions fall off quick. Because inwardly something starts taking place within your life that outrides, outlives, outdoes what you were doing in the world in darkness. All of a sudden, you're under a spotlight. All of a sudden, you're representing Jesus, and there's an inner witness taking place in your life that you ain't like this no more, that you can't keep doing those things. See, if you continue to do the same things that you were doing before you got saved, you will be remembered always in what the enemy has for you. As a result, when you know who you are in Christ, you will get results. When you know who you are in Christ, you will be able to fulfill your God-given purpose. Anything else would just not fill the void within your life. And that's why people can leave and they'll always come back. Because once you have tasted of the Lord and know that he is good, he was the only one that could make you stop doing all that stuff. No one else could do it. But things take place, you go back out there, and that's why we always come back. Because the word says that the Lord, the good work he has started, that he's going to finish it. He's going to finish the good work. And that's why we're all here this morning. That's good news. It's not so much based on what we did, but who Christ is within our lives. When you know who you are in Christ, you will be able to fulfill your God-given purpose. Anything else will just not fill the void within your life. In verse 9, the Bible tells us there at the very bottom, amen, third line to the end, as a result, this is our purpose, our mutual, everybody's mutual purpose. As a result, can you, are the lights all the way hired up to the fullest? Because that guy's blinking off. No, now he's stopped. Everybody's looking up there saying, it's not blinking. Yes, it was. Praise the Lord. Blinking light. No, it's not blinking now. Verse 9 says at the end there, as a result, your purpose, our purpose, a mutual purpose for everybody. As a result, you can show. Not tell, but show. It's easier said than done sometimes, amen? As a result of Christ being in your life, this is our purpose. You can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Each and every one of us here this morning has a mutual purpose that's found here in verse 9. To show others the goodness of God. how he called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. I have a little side note that says, go high with arrows going up. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm not just a saved Christian. I am not just a saved Christian. If that was the case, I would be a saved Christian in South Texas right now. I am not just a saved Christian, a clean and sober Christian, a 20 plus years, but I have something to say 20 years later on how God took me out of darkness. It's something that was so great that only God could do, that I still speak it all through the day, whether I'm at Menards, on the roof of the church, wherever I'm at. I'm always a witness and always declaring on how God was the only one that was able to take me out of my darkness unto his marvelous light. It was something so powerful, so great, that I haven't stopped talking about it 20 years later. Because I should be dead. And I know I'm here because of God's simply grace and mercy. Because I'm chosen of God. Because I have a purpose that comes from God. Because I'm his possession, amen? There's value within my life. There's value within your life. But what are you doing with the value that is in your life? No woman was able to do what Jesus did in my life. And there was many of them, every color and size. Right, love? She's going, instead of amen, she's going, praise the Lord. No amount of money was able to do what the Lord did in my life. No fancy car was able to do it. No job was able to do it. Mom and dad couldn't do it on their best day. No program could do it. No prison out of all the prisons I went to could do what only Jesus has done in my life. And for that, I am grateful. And that's why 20 years later, I feel like a youth gang member behind the pulpit this day. Youth gang. Don't let the pastor at 55 years old show you down. I still got the same fire. Matter of fact, it's a little bit hotter. It's a little, because the Bible says inwardly, my spirit's being renewed daily. Daily after 20 some odd years walking with Jesus, his anointing, his power, his purpose. Everything is flowing right now as I spit. Hey, sister, how you doing? You look so beautiful. Wow. Your hair. Hey, dude, where'd you get them shoes from? Surfing, man. Nice car. When did you get it? None of that stuff. You can have it all. You can have all that stuff and still be miserable inside. All that stuff ain't gonna make the difference in you having joy and doing what God has called you to do. No one, nothing could do what only Jesus could do. And he's still at work in my life. I would have been a wreck this morning. Mm-mm-mm. I said, nah, devil, that's lame. Go get somebody else with that. Uh-huh. What do you want? Hey, Bianca. Hey, love. Hey, beautiful. Could you please come to church real quick? What do you want? Yeah. I made sure the house was clear first. Amen.
Okay, Ezekiel out, Jeanette's out. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mocha,
shh.
Nobody.
Okay, beautiful. Are you almost ready?
Yes.
She had to change all her clothes today, amen. She had to make changes.
She's got to be told 4 or 5 days in advance that she's playing, not 5 minutes in advance.
Okay, beautiful. I'll just wait out here for you.
That's not me. I need somebody playing that keyboard.
And we walk together over here. I say, hey, love, good looking out. Good looking out, Bianca.
This is the last time I'm going to be doing it.
Keeping it real, 100. See, some of you wouldn't share that stuff. I got no problem in sharing that stuff. This is what goes on behind the scenes. And being able to bring the presence of the Lord down. To be able to bring the fire. We just don't all show, hey, how you doing? It don't work like that. There's an enemy and an adversary involved trying to bring confusion. I've been around too long. I even went with the worst team. Okay, as we join hands together and we pray. And I prayed with them and everything. Then I walked out. I said, Lord, please. And then I seen everything. God's still moving, still doing what he does best. His presence still came down. He allowed me to see a few people in the supernatural realm because I was looking to see what he was about to do, knowing that the enemy was trying to trip us up. Mm-mm. And that's why I still give all the glory I got here in my notes and honor unto Jesus 20 plus years later and getting stronger, wiser. Amen? Because the Bible says inwardly we're being renewed daily. It tells us we might be getting weaker in the flesh, and that's okay because the Bible says in Matthew that the flesh profits nothing. But what's important that Scripture says that inwardly, see, that's the place and the person we really are here this morning, not what we look like on the outside, but what we look like on the inside. And what the Lord is doing right now as I'm preaching, there's the physical mirror that you dressed in front of today, but as the word goes forth, all of a sudden the word becomes a mirror to what you really look like on the inside. And the Spirit of the Lord is able to draw you from the physical. He takes you into the spiritual realm to what's really taking place inside your life, not around your life right now. So right now, the person, the Holy Spirit, is bringing focus to your inner condition in what is really important and who you really are. Do not allow the enemy to distract you from some outside rock he's throwing at you. Because those are going to keep coming every day, doing everything the right way. There's no way around that one. In this world, you will have trial and tribulations. The words of the Lord. But he goes on to say, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome them all. I thank the Lord that I kept my cool this morning. Was I jumping up and down happy? No, but I kept my cool. I had to keep my cool. And that's the beauty of growing in the things of the Lord. A couple years ago, I would have flared up like a fighting rooster, like a peacock. Amen? Everybody would have probably heard me yelling, whether it was in the back or in the front. I wouldn't have cared. But because I'm growing and because people are growing in this church, it allows us, for the top line says, but you are not like that. You are not like that. And too many times we get mad at people because we're still doing that thing, those things. But Scripture says, but you are not like that. That is not the way we carry on. So you can grow past whatever you're stuck in right now. You can grow past it. The Lord's done it for me. He can do it for you. But what he wants to do, and that's not just all the mutual purposes, that we are his eyewitnesses, amen, and what God has not only done in our lives, but what he wants to do in the lives of others. It says to go show them, Scripture says. Have you been witnessing lately? The last line says, the second line says, you can show others the goodness of God. It's kind of hard sometimes to show the goodness of God when we're looking at the outer circumstances of our lives, trying to look good instead of talking good. You can show others the goodness of God. I'm still here 20 plus years later convinced that it was only God who did what he did in my life. And I'm still convinced if he did it for me, he could do it for you. But you are not like that. I don't do the same things I used to do. The thoughts still go there sometimes. Amen. But I don't stay thinking about it long enough to where I go do it. A clear mind, I put those thoughts captive, the Bible says. There's a value in your life here this Sunday morning. And the enemy's trying to distract you of your value and your purpose and of your true identity. Let me use some scriptures to back up that we're supposed to be fulfilling our purpose and showing others the goodness of God. We can't just tell them about the goodness. We got to show them about the goodness. And sometimes that's why it's easier to talk somebody on the phone than going and doing a house visit. We got to show them the goodness of God. Got some heavy scriptures here. Psalm 66:16 is a heavy one. Come and listen, all of you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. Ooh, man. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm just witnessing right now. I'm a witness of God. I didn't know if I was going to use the next scripture. Let's go, 17 through 20. It says, for I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. If I had not confessed, that's why you got to confess on a daily basis. Even if you're doing right on the mountaintop today, we live in this filthy world. You got to confess on a daily basis. And that's how our inward spirit gets renewed on a daily basis. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. There's too many praying without confessing. But you are not like that. But God did listen. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God, who did not ignore my prayer. Somebody might be ignoring you this day, not paying you no attention. Maybe for a week, a month, for years. You're being ignored. But the verse says, praise God, who did not ignore my prayer or withdrew his unfailing love from me. Go back to 16. Come and listen, all of you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. I've been called to witness, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. That means not only when you're at church, but when you're at your job place, when you're picking him or her up, when you're with your everywhere. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
There's another heavy scripture. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then those, God's writing right now, then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other. Everybody doing their own thing, trying to handle their own problems. But it says, if you fear God, it said, then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other. And the Lord listened. There again, the Lord's listening because they're doing what's right. And the Lord listened to what they said in his presence. You want the Lord's presence? Fellowship with one another. And listen to what they said in his presence. A scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him. Oh, man, she's fellowshipping. Ooh, man, I got to remember her, man. Oof, that's good stuff right there. She don't even know much. She's still getting busy. Man, that's, what's his name? Man, he was the one that was not supposed to make it, man. I got to write that one down. Those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. 20 years later, I don't think about Jesus here and there on a Sunday morning, but everywhere and every second and minute of the day. Everywhere I go, I always give honor to his name because honor is due for what he did in my life to become a mouthpiece, to speak on how he took me out of darkness and brought me into his marvelous light. And as he did it for me, and as I speak to others, I can tell them, hey, I was just where you were at. I did all that stuff. But now I'm in the light of things. I don't have to be in secrecy no more. I don't need deep, dark corners to work out of no more. The Lord has set me free from darkness. And I believe the church is walking away from the witness of what Christ has done in your life that only he could have done. Nothing else could have done it, but only the Lord. Is Bianca in the sanctuary? Get her if she's not. And if she don't come, praise the Lord. I'll play the keyboard. Those who feared him and always thought about the honor of his name. But it's hard to think about Jesus and what he has done when you're caught up in what the devil is doing. When you're caught up in your situation that nobody understands. It's where it's personal. Pastor, it's personal. Now get up out of here with that personal stuff. Your life was on Front Street out there at 3 in the afternoon, 3 in the morning. Ripping off in Walgreens, Menards. But all of a sudden, everything's personal. My God. See, God's wanting to do an inward work. And some of you are going to have to let me in. I'm not the young pastor no more. You're going to have to let me in. You got to expose yourself and trust, which this world does not do nothing of no more. Nobody trusts nobody. Not even that God can change your life. You're just existing, breathing. 1 Peter 2:10. Here I go. I bounced into 10. Once you had no identity as a people, but now the scripture, opening scripture says, now we're the chosen people of God. Amen? How many at one time had no identity? Didn't know who you were. Didn't have a clue to life. The NIV says, same scripture, verse 10, once you were not a people. Once you were not a people. But now the Bible opening scripture says now we're the chosen people of God. Once not a people, once you had no identity as a people, what does that mean?
once you were not a people. It simply means to be without purpose and significance within your life. No purpose, no significance. Missing, I put here, the very point of life itself. The very reason for living. It means God created man and gave man life. A life with a purpose. Scripture says life more abundantly. If we don't live the life that God has called us to live, we then just exist. Wake up in the morning, we go to work, get in the car, we eat, we go back. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, okay, call you tomorrow. All righty. Do, 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 do. Bring, 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 bring. Oh, oh my God, I'm looking bad. Oh my. What does that represent, women? You put this on and you put this on and you put this on and you just don't look right, don't fit right. All worried. All in the flesh, all by yourself, going to work in the morning because what you look like and what you used to look like. Psst, hot. We then just exist. And miss out on life, on what life really is. Never fulfilling, satisfying, or completing the purpose of life, which is God's will for your life, as the worship team makes their way. I still go to bat for all of you guys every morning. I still go to bat for you guys. Because I know there's value in your life. I still go to bat for you guys. I still speak to you guys, still talk to you guys. If you call, I'll answer the phone. The enemy's going to continue to attack. There's no way around that one. And the reason he attacks is because there's value within you. So he gets your attention to what's around you. That's why one of the commandments says to not, what do you call it when you want what the neighbor has? Do not covet. Oh, I got to get that car, man. Man, then you get the car. Man, I got to put those rims on it, man. It's just not cool the way it looks. And we get all worried about what people are looking at on the outside. When it has nothing to do with where God is working at. See, God's works in the address called within, not where we live. And I'm still excited. I'm still believing. I'm still preaching that God's going to use you in a mighty and powerful way. Danielle, me and my wife were talking that you bring us joy seeing where how you entered the church, lost, bound, high school teacher of 12 years. Didn't know her right hand from her left hand, even though she's educated, was lost and bound. And now she's still nervous as she sings, but she took the challenge. And she used to just look like this when she's singing. Now she's loosening up a little. Now she's tightened up again. But praise the Lord. Put her on the spot. She stepped out. She has two kids. She got a husband called Kyle now. She got a double up now. Where's Kyle? Little monkey, where you at? I told her, you got two kids. I don't care which way Kyle goes. You got to keep coming to this altar. You got to keep taking the challenge of God. You got two kids. A little crazy Levi comes running in the church like the Tasmanian devil goes, hey, pastor. She has education, 12 years as a high school teacher. Didn't know who she was, didn't know who God was. See, education don't take you to who you really are. It just helps you on the outer areas. Allows you to look like you're in control. But her life was totally out of control. She took the challenge. I know that there's men and women here. We're not looking for perfect people. But as Felipe said, willing vessels. Because in the beginning, that's all we can be is willing vessels. Because we come messed up to the cross. We come messed up. And we just got to be willing. And we got to be able to confess on a daily basis. For the Lord can continue to renew His Spirit within us to make us stronger and stronger. And as our life is getting older and as this world is getting more evil and wicked, inwardly we're getting stronger and stronger, and we're able to see what the Lord is wanting us to see instead of what the enemy is wanting us to see. That takes years of dedication, years to see what the Lord wants you to see when the enemy is going on an all out on you. To stay focused and see what the Lord wants to do. I'm focused right now. Because I know somebody's being stirred right now within. Being encouraged within. Saying, I got to make some changes. I need to make some changes. Go to the opening verse. Opening verse. 1 Peter. Once. But you are not like that. But you are not like that. That's not us no more. This is who we are this morning. And God's got a plan. He's got a purpose for your life. And all you got to do is come to the cross. All you got to do is come to the altar and repent and say, Jesus, I've screwed up. Please forgive me. Help me. And the Bible says He will listen. And because you're His child, that He's going to lift you up and raise you up all over again. Because the gifts within your life are irrevocable. He loves you too much to take them away. He's too powerful. He did it once in your life. He can do it again. But you got to get to a place that you are not like that. No more. It's the lies of the enemy. It's not an inner truth. It's an outer lie of the enemy. And here this day, as we make the altar call, the Spirit of God is going to start dealing with those inner areas that are important, that matter, that God sees, that the enemy does not want you to see. He wants you to keep you blind, because when somebody is in bondage, they are blind to what they're doing that is wrong. Conviction leaves of the Spirit of God. And before you know it, they're doing all that stuff again without even a conviction. And then all of a sudden, condemnation sets in. That God can't use you, that's a lie. I don't care where you've been, what you've done, God is wanting to use you this day. He's wanting you to speak about Him like you used to everywhere you go. Whether you're on the mountaintop or in the bottom of the valley, He wants you speaking of His goodness. He wants you to show His goodness. He wants you to tell Him how you took Him out of darkness, how He put you under His light, how He exposed the sin within your life. This is good preaching this morning. It comes from God. It's real. And it's not just for me. It's for you too. It's for Danielle. It's for Michelle. It's for, what's your name? Aaliyah. Aaliyah. I called her Aaliyah. So Alberto, my wife, Bianca, playing the keyboard. Josue. It's for all of us. They didn't come in all gifted and all this stuff. Alberto still can't sing. No, he got much better. He got much better. See, I know my sheep. I know what I can say and what I can't say. He could not sing a lick. But Pastor, I love worshiping the Lord. I said, dude, but you can't sing. A little bit more, Pastor, a little bit more, a little bit more. Today he can hold a note and worship the Lord. God granted his desires. It was something I couldn't see, but it was something God put in him. He granted his desire. You want to sing a solo right now to prove it to the people? No? I thought you were going to step out right there. Devil been trying to kill that dude. He's still trying to kill him. He's about to become a certified accountant. Big money, 6 digits. We had to go to training center. I go, you ain't going to no training center. Go get your education. Not many kids got brains like that. Then go to the training center. It's called dumb, stupid, when he was in elementary, that he would never make it. He gets mad if he don't get an A on all the tests that he takes. He gets mad. He gets in the flesh. I said, dudes, get over it, man. You passed. Yep. Story. You got to grow into your call. You got to be stretched. You got to take that challenge. You got to take that challenge. You got to take that challenge. Don't have to be perfect. Got that call. Keith was in my office. My wife was asked, she'll say, then my wife said, give me your phone. What we do to have church to a people that were not a people, that had no identity, now chosen of God with purpose to speak of his goodness. Sometimes we just feel things are just not going to change. And scripture says nothing stays the same. Something going to give. My faith is that it's going to give for the good. That the next man, that the next woman, the next youth member will be able to catch the vision and to be able to see Jesus even in the storm. The disciples were all in the boat. Jesus came walking to them in the storm. He called Peter. I think we're all a bunch of Peters here this day. Peter says, man, that's you calling me. Peter stepped out of the boat. He stepped out of the boat. He was walking on water. How many have ever walked on water before in Jesus? Where you knew what was taking place should have never been taking place, but you were walking on water and you knew it was God. But the storm was still kicking up while he was walking on water, while Jesus was calling him. And then the storm had its way and he took his focus, his gaze that he had on Jesus, and he put it on the circumstances. And as soon as he did, he started to sink. Where Jesus said, hey, I got you, man, I got you. See, when you step out, Jesus got you. Not enough people stepping out no more. You're willing to step out for a better job, to be paid more. You'll go through all kinds of nervousness for that more money. Nobody's wanting to step out for Jesus no more, even though it's him that is calling you, saying, come, for I have called you by name. Nobody's wanting to step out, even though it's Jesus calling. But I pray here this day that maybe just one more will be added on to the race of Jesus, where there's no colors or nothing. It's the blood of Jesus. And a man or a woman, a youth member, is able to know who they are, not only in the good times, but to know who they are also in the hard times. And I don't know about you, But it's been the hard times that has brought my relationship with Jesus as one. It wasn't the good times. It was the hard times that allows me to be behind the pulpit 20 years later. Jesus loves you here this day. I always tell you, I love you. That goes so far, amen? And I'll prove it, I'll sweat, I'll bleed for you. And but I'm saying, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you here this day so much. He has not made a mistake. He has chosen you as his people, as his son, as his daughter, his possession. There's value in your life here this day, no matter what's taking place. And because there's value in his life, and because he's our Father, he will give you provision and protection to allow the gifts and the purpose from your life to be seen by all, everywhere you go, talking about Jesus as we stand this day. We need to start inviting people to church. It's not because we're doing all these things wrong. It's because nobody's speaking. Nobody's witnessing. Nobody's witnessing. We all got to become that mouthpiece of the Lord to speak on his goodness, to show others that they need Jesus. We know better. We know we can see through a beautiful smile. We can see through a beautiful smile. We can see when somebody's hurting. Been there, done that. But here this day, the Lord's looking where it counts. And that's within our hearts and our minds. He's looking where it matters, where only he can see and where only he can work at. See, that outer stuff, you can do it. But that inward work, only he can do it. So here this day, if you really want to know who you are, you really want to fulfill the purpose of God within your life, you're going to have to let him in. You're going to have to repent. And he'll hook you up. He'll hook you up. Even when you don't deserve it, he'll hook you up. Whatever the song is, I'm going to open up the altars here this day.